You're at the tailgates of hell. The NFC East podcast for the common man. Here are your hosts, Jason Giaconia and Benjamin David.
Number 10 in the National Football League. Welcome, everybody, to the Tailgates of Hell. It's the NFC East podcast for the common man. Riding solo again this week. I guess when your team's 1-7, you take lots of vacations. Ben was in Italy earlier this season. He's in Mexico now. Just anything to flee the country, get away from the New York football giants. So kind of a big week in the NFC East. It's going to be an interesting week, especially given what's happened in Dallas, what's happening with the Redskins. We'll spend a couple seconds on the Giants. And it'll be a quick show overall, especially since riding solo. Around the league this week, man, nothing but injuries and, you know, people go at, we're doing this on Friday, which is a little bit later than usual, so we get the fallout from Thursday night football and, man, the injuries and the players and just how they're going off about playing on Thursday is going to be really, and the ratings and how far the ratings are down, going to be interesting to see what happens with this because some of these contracts end soon with the TV, with this TV stations, the ratings are down. It's going to be interesting to see if they're going to pay additional money for, or even what they're paying now for the Thursday night packages. Yeah, I mean, if you go back to me, and this is something maybe I'll bring up on the recap show or something for the off season. If you leave it up to me, you go back to what they used to do, or they did it for a couple seasons, but start the season back on Labor Day, give everybody two byes, and you know, figure out how to schedule this a little bit better because I get it, the players, you can't stay healthy, and the way these games go now, you can't turn around and play on Sunday or sometimes Sunday night and then on a Thursday night. It's just, I agree 100% with the players, but with the money involved and what it adds to the salary cap, which I think is about $7 million, going to be interesting to see what happens. One of the bigger, business side things. Another huge story this week, and this we'll definitely talk about on the recap show because I'm sure Ben has some thoughts on it, is Jerry Jones suing the National Football League, or I don't know who exactly he's suing, but just going against the extension of Roger Goodell. And, you know, a lot of people might look at it and just think this is a fallout from the Ezekiel Elliott thing, but I think there's more than that. And if you look at the history of Jerry Jones, and Sally Jenkins actually has a good article in the Washington Post if you want to check that out, and just what type of visionary he's always been and how he's kind of always thinking ahead, I think there's more to it, and it'll be interesting to see if ownership around the league, because, yeah, the revenues have increased, but there's been some major, you know, cracks in the armor for the National Football League, and I do think it's kind of coming to a head. But beyond that, it's week number six. I guess I'm 4 weeks, 4 weeks behind, but week 10 in the National Football League. So, I mean, this is it. The month of November is where you're going to start to see people, you know, go to contenders, or, you know, they'll kind of fall off. And, you know, one of those teams will be the Washington Redskins. We'll start with that. They have the 6-2 Minnesota Vikings coming to FedEx Field on Sunday. Interesting game. Vikings coming off a bye. So kind of looking at the Vikings as an opponent, and I've talked about it on this show for the last few weeks that, you know, I didn't think the Redskins would beat the Seahawks. I thought if they were going to have a win, it would be this week against the Vikings, and here's why. So the Vikings, if you look, you know, around the team, they're obviously on their backup quarterback with Case Keenum. 7 touchdowns to 3 picks on the year. Not bad. I mean, he's managing the game. He's not making mistakes. He has 1,600 yards, just over that. They lose Dalvin Cook, their leading rusher. Jerick McKinnon has had a decent season. He's averaging 4.2 yards a carry, 287 yards on the year. And then receiving, you know, their top receiver is Adam Thielen. I don't know a whole lot about this guy. You know, he's got 48 catches on the year, which is, I mean, that's in 8 games. That's a hell of a lot of catches. On pace for almost 627 yards and 1 touchdown. You know, their points for, points against, they're 3rd in the league. They're scoring 22.4 points a game, giving up just 16.9. If there's one area of this team that I think it's good, it's their defense. And they get after the quarterback, and they create turnovers. So they're +2 on the turnover ratio for the year. Everson Griffin is 3rd in the league. He's got 10 sacks, and, I mean, he's an excellent, excellent pass rusher. Harrison Smith has 3 interceptions on the year. He's tied for 3rd in the league. So we'll see, but why I look at the Vikings and I'm like, okay, yeah, they're 6-2, but when you look at their schedule, it's not a, I mean, 6-2 is 6-2 when you play the schedule, but it's not a very impressive, you know, collection of wins. So you start, they started the season with a win over the Saints, which at the time did not seem impressive. And the Saints looked just lost, but Saints are now 6-2 too. Their winners are six straight. So maybe that was an impressive victory. But after that, they go to Pittsburgh and lose 26-9 in a game that was not close at all. I know that, because I actually watched that game. They go and win in Tampa 34-17. Buccaneers are terrible. They lose at home to the Lions 14-7. Lions are a decent team, probably, in my opinion, the best in the NFC North this year. They go to Chicago and win by three. Bears are nothing great. They lose, or excuse me, they do win in, or at, wow, third time will be a charm. They win at home against the Packers 23-10. That's the game that Aaron Rodgers went out. They win at home to the Ravens 24-16, and then they win against the Browns 33-16 in London. So, hey, they're playing their schedule. They're doing what they need to do. But when your wins are, in addition to the Saints, who you got to give them credit for that, the Buccaneers, the Packers without Aaron Rodgers, the Ravens, and the Browns and the Bears, it's not that impressive. So they have games coming up against the Redskins, Rams, Lions, Falcons the next 4 weeks. So we'll end the Panthers. So we'll kind of see what type of team the Vikings really are. They're in the driver's seat in the NFC North, but I just don't know if it's something that is going to continue. So on the flip side, Washington Redskins come home at 4-4. They get a huge, huge, maybe season-saving win against the Seattle Seahawks last week, 17-14. For the Redskins, you got Kirk Cousins, 13 touchdowns, 4 interceptions. He has done nothing this season that's going to affect his long-term signability. If anything, I think he has solidified it in my eyes, and I'd like to see him, you know, continue to stay in Washington. Chris Thompson, Redskins haven't run the ball well, and you know, given the offensive line woes, which all the same guys are still questionable, but they are starting to, you know, become a little bit more healthy and a little bit more optimistic. So hopefully they'll be able to run the ball better, and they'll have to protect Kirk Cousins in this game because the Vikings defense, you know, has a great pass rush. Receiving-wise, will Josh Doctson continue to evolve? So he's had some nice moments. Obviously, that moment, that 38-yard catch against the Seahawks was just huge last week. But can he become a, you know, in every down we're looking at this guy type of player? You still haven't seen that. He still only has 11 catches on the year. But, you know, he's got some sparks and some things that are, you know, starting to pop up and shine. Defensively, Ryan Kerrigan, and we'll see, you know, he went down last week. He should play this week. Going to be interesting to see. And if the Redskins can get some guys back healthy, I do like them in this game. Right now, the Vikings are favored by 1.5. I've been saying the Redskins are going to win this game for weeks. A lot of it has to do with the Vikings schedule, and they just don't pass the eye test to me. But we'll see, and if the Vikings can win, even if they split their next four games, I think they're going to make the playoffs because the back end of their schedule is pretty weak as well. So they're going through their tough stretch. Redskins just need to stay alive because they got to go to New Orleans next week. You know, if you're the Redskins and you could split these games with the Vikings and the Saints, I think you got to feel pretty good because on the other side of that, as I pull up the schedule, I know it gets a little bit weaker for the Redskins. They play the Giants on Thanksgiving Day. This is after the Saints. They go to Dallas, which is a tough game. They go to Los Angeles to play the Chargers, which is a little bit of a harder game than you would have thought. But then they're home. They host the Cardinals, who, you know, they're losing everybody. They're nothing special. They host the Broncos, who they stink. And then they go to New York. So you got, you know, in that set of games, at least four games that you think you have to win. So they're 4-4 right now. That would give them 8 wins if they beat the Giants twice, the Cardinals, and the Broncos. So, hey, can you steal 2 of the other 4, whether that's the Vikings, Saints, Cowboys, or Chargers? I think the best chance, or one of the best out of those 4, is the Vikings this week. So I will take the Redskins. All right, moving on in the NFC East, we'll hit the Giants for a hot second. We'll spend a lot of time with them on the recap show. What do you say? This is a game with two teams. Their combined record is 1-16. It's at Levi's Stadium, San Francisco. And I mean, the Giants, they said this week they're going to keep Ben McAdoo for the season. You have more reports coming out. This is just not something that happens to the New York Giants. I have not seen it in my lifetime with the leaks. It reminds me of something I've seen more with the Redskins than anything. But Yeah, they've been terrible this year. They lose last week 51-17 to the Rams. They're points four against. They're only scoring 16 points a game. They're giving up 25. Eli, I don't think it's his fault. He's got 12 touchdowns, six interceptions on the year, but I mean, he's had no time. Receiving-wise, one of the bright spots, I guess, has been Evan Ingram. He's got 34 catches for 412 yards and a touchdown on the year. You know, defensively, they're giving up almost 400 yards a game. And the locker room is just toxic at this point, if you're the Giants. On the other side, that's all you can say about them at this point. Like, they're just so bad and toxic. And, you know, like I said, they said they're going to keep McAdoo for the season. But one source came out this week and said they'd almost guarantee he's not back. And, I mean, at this point, you have to blow up that team. Maybe give Eli a couple more years. You know, they have said they sent the scouts out to look at the college quarterback. So the Giants will be going through a changing the guard, and I think that's pretty clear. On the other side, this is the last NFC East game for the 49ers. I feel like we've broken this down so many times now, and they are still winless at 0-9. Pierre Garçon goes on IR. That might actually have been the week before. I don't think he played last week either. Niners lost last week 20-10 to the Cardinals. I mean, they stink. C.J. Beathard is still scheduled to get the start. No Jimmy Garoppolo at this point. You know, if you look for something from the 49ers that is exciting or, you know, good, it's that defensive line. They've been pretty good, you know, throughout the year. Elvis Dumervil leads the team with 3.5 sacks. So at this point, let's see what the spread of this game is. 1-16. This is a gambler's paradise right here. The 49ers are actually 2.5-point home underdogs. I mean, I'll take them. I'm not taking anybody. I'm not taking the Giants over anybody if they're not getting points. So take the 49ers. And, you know, if you're a Giants fan, I don't know what you're rooting for at this point. I would think, you know, you want to start to see some signs of life while still losing games and getting a better draft pick. But, man, 1-7 on November 12th will be these games. I never would have thought that for the Giants. Picked them to win the division and thought they were legit Super Bowl contenders. So last but not least, the Fox game of the week. It's the Dallas Cowboys at the Atlanta Falcons. Cowboys, Ezekiel Elliott will not play, so you're losing a guy who has 783 rushing yards on the season. That's tied for second in the league, 7 touchdowns, which is tied for first in the league. You're taking him out of your team, and you're going to replace him with who? So you got Alfred Morris, Darren McFadden's thrown around. There's another guy that's in there whose name is escaping me right now. But that's going to be it for the Cowboys this and the next 6 weeks is what does this team look like without Ezekiel Elliott? They had a huge win against the Chiefs last week. A game I thought they'd lose, they won, you know, pretty much going away 28-17. You know, they're averaging almost 29 points a game. They're only giving up 22. They're winning the turnover battle. They're plus 3 on that. You know, DeMarcus Lawrence is just out of this world. 10.5 sacks in the season, tied for second in the league. I think to Calais Campbell is the guy who's leading the league. But you know, Cowboys have been excellent, but it all comes down to who's going to step up when Elliott is not going to be there. Is it a guy like Terrence Williams or Cole Beasley? Does Jason Witten get more involved? You know, offensively, someone has to take it, or is it Dak Prescott? And I think that's what it really all boils down to is does Prescott step up and become the guy over these next 6 games? And is he capable of doing that? I think we saw him, you know, take over a game last year in the playoffs against the Packers when they really needed it. But obviously they were in such a huge hole at that point. He's been great this year with what he's been asked to do. You know, he's got almost 2,000 yards, 16 touchdowns to 4 interceptions, doesn't make a lot of mistakes. But can he be the guy? I mean, Ezekiel Elliott, and if you've watched the Cowboys the last few weeks, you understand how awesome this guy has been for this team. And now he's going to be out, and he's going to be out again and again and again. And the Cowboys' schedule over the next 6 games, as I do a little typing and pull it up, I remember it being tough. So they play the Falcons, and then, hey, next week they got the Eagles at home, and then they get a quick turnaround. They play the Chargers at home on Thanksgiving Day, which is not an easy game. Then they play the Redskins at home. So those 4 games are huge. He'll miss the Giants game in New York. You would think that's a game that the Cowboys should still win. And then he'll miss a game at the Raiders, which the Raiders are nothing great. And then he should be back on Christmas Eve to play the Seahawks. And then you go to Philadelphia to end the season. So, you know, this four-game stretch is huge for Dallas. And it starts this weekend against the Atlanta Falcons. Falcons are 4-4. They have not been great this year. They lose last week 20-17 at Carolina. You know, whether you call it the Super Bowl hangover or what, they're not the same team that they've been or that they were last year. So they're home this week. The Falcons play a little bit better at home. Just pulling up their schedule right now and what they've looked like at home. So, you know, they opened the season. God, they opened the season 3-0, and now they're 4-4. So they have only won one of their last five games. And those losses include home losses to the Bills and Dolphins, at the Patriots, where they got killed on Sunday Night Football. They do beat the Jets 25-20. That was no give me. And then they lose last week to the Panthers. So their season is quickly spiraling out of control. Matt Ryan, 11 touchdowns, but 7 interceptions on the year. Quite a bit. Devontae Freeman's averaging 4.5 yards a carry. Julio Jones is great, as always, but he's been limited and a little bit beat up throughout the course of the year. You know, defensively, they're losing the turnover battle. They're -4 in that. They've turned it over 10 times, only created 6. Vic Beasley leads the team in sacks with 4. You know, this is a desperate football team that the Cowboys are going into play in Atlanta. Atlanta is a tough place to play. I know they've lost a couple questionable games, especially to the likes of the Dolphins earlier this year. But man, they're home favorites. The Cowboys are getting 3 in this game, so the Falcons are -3. You know, this is one of those ones I look at, and I think they would like you to take the Cowboys because I think everything points the Cowboys' way. But then you throw in the Ezekiel Elliott suspension, and I did not see the line before that news came out. So maybe it's kind of a coin toss. I'm going to take the Cowboys, though. I mean, if you look at the Falcons' schedule, they beat the Bears barely. They beat the Packers pretty good on Sunday Night Football. They barely beat the Lions in Detroit in that game where the Lions looked like they had the go-ahead touchdown. And they lose to the Bills, who knows what the Bills are, but we'll call that a decent, you know, they're a decent team. They lose to the Dolphins at home 2017. Dolphins stink. They lose at New England. The Jets, I don't know, man. That's just I'm not feeling the Falcons, especially when I look at their schedule. So I'll take the Cowboys. I think they'll keep pace. And if we look at the standings real quick and just see where things shake out, you know, going into this week and, you know, just what it's going to look like. So if the season were to end today, you know, Philadelphia would be the one seed. They're 8-1. We haven't talked about them on their show. They're obviously on a bye this weekend. Got nothing bad to say. It's one of those weeks where you're an Eagles fan, you just kick back, relax, and watch football. Redskins have barely ever been in this position, but it might be the best position as a fan to just kick back, know your team's 8-1, and you know, watch everybody else. Saints are 6-2. They'd be the 2 seed if a season ended today. Minnesota would be 6-2. They'd be the 3 seed, and the Rams would win the West at 6-2 as the 4 seed. Seattle and Carolina would be your 2 wild cards if the season ended today. They're both 6-3. So one NFC East team if the season ended today. Dallas is the 7 seed right now. They're 5-3. And then you got a slew of teams at 4-4 that include Atlanta, Detroit, Washington, Green Bay. And then you start to get into your Arizona's, Chicago's, Tampa Bay, Giants, and San Francisco's, who... San Francisco's only a couple weeks. I think they potentially could be eliminated from playoff contention this week. That's pretty early for that. So that's it. So looking around the league, if there's a game I want to pick and look at, I am going to take, let's see what we got here. Is there a good line? And Houston is +11 in LA. I'm going to take... I'm not betting on Tom Savage. I guess I'll take the Chargers +3.5 at Jacksonville. Jacksonville still does not, you know, they don't do anything for me. The Chargers started off, you know, terrible. They get that win over the Giants, and they've been okay. You know, they get the loss to the Patriots. I think they're 3-5 in the year, so, you know, they don't look like anything too special, but I don't think that's a bad football team. If I'm looking, like, as a Redskins fan at the schedule, at the one game that I'm worried that I'm like, people look at and think you should win, that you probably are not going to win or is going to be a lot tougher. I look at that Cardinals – or, excuse me, the Chargers game. So that's it. Was riding solo this week. Tailgates of Hell. We'll be back. We'll recap it all. Yeah, everybody enjoy. This is the season's getting old very quick, and you got one more week before Thanksgiving, and then, you know, between Thanksgiving and Christmas, that time flies. It's over in a blink of an eye, and then the season's over. It's just like that. It just flies. So for the NFC East, from Fort Ben David in Mexico, I'm Jason Jaconia. You're listening to the Tailgates of Hell podcast. It's the NFC East podcast for the common man.
For all the latest NFC East news and opinions, check out tailgatesofhell.com or follow on Twitter at tailgatesofhell.